Good morning, Friendship Church. How's everybody doing? My name is Dustin Pete. I'm Creative Arts Pastor here, and our senior pastor, Dave Crandall, and his family are wrapping up their vacation this weekend. They'll be back with us next week to launch a very, very important series. And so before we get into today and we wrap up this series, I just want to stress the importance to you of next week. If this is your first time here or you're still kind of new and you're still trying to figure out what's going on here at Friendship, today is not the norm. Normally we have two services. Normally Pastor Dave is up here, much better looking. But today we got me, and we're going to wrap up this series well. But next week we return back to two services. And here's why two services is important to us. It doubles the opportunity. It doubles the potential for us to be an effective and influential church. And we believe that's what we're called to here at Friendship. We don't want to just kind of go through the motions and sit in the seats on Sunday morning and sing a couple of songs and feel good about ourselves and then walk out of here and not really experience any type of life change or any type of new life breathed into our bodies and into our lives around us. But we want to be the type of church that produces change. And next week, we return back to two services. It doubles the opportunity to invite your friends to experience this change. Next week, we're launching into a new series called Lost and Wondering. You'll hear a little bit more about that later on in today's service. But I want to stress the importance to you to be inviting your friends to this. You may be here this morning feeling lost and wandering, like you're just lost in life, like you're just wandering through the path. And so next week, we're going to start a series that addresses that. Why do we have that feeling? What do we do with that feeling? Where do we find our way? And so next week, we're going to start that. Our two services resume next week at 9:30 and 11. So the time that you're in here right now, this service time won't exist next week. We go back to 9:30 and 11. And I also want to give one more shout out before we get into today's message. Our volunteers here at Friendship number just over 200. And if you don't know, we average right around 400 in attendance every week. That means one in every two people that walk through our doors on Sunday mornings, they walk in here not just ready to consume what God has for them or what we've put together or a nice little program or a couple of songs or a message or a video or two. They come ready to give. And I challenge you, if you don't volunteer here at Friendship or if you're a part of another local church, I challenge you to be a part of that, to be givers of life and volunteer your time and put into others. And if you ask any one of our volunteers, many of whom are in this room, many of whom are over on the other side of our campus watching your kids right now, if you ask any one of those volunteers, they will tell you it is totally worth it because they can gain way more out of serving and being the hands and feet that God has called us to be, the hands and feet of Jesus. They gain way more out of that than they do just coming and consuming every week. And so if you see a volunteer today on your way out, thank them for their time and for their service as we get ready to go into Easter time this year. So the past 13, 14 weeks since the beginning of the year, we've been in this series, Building a Life That Matters. And Dave began by asking us a simple question. Does any of us in this room or any of us in this church, do we want to have a life that matters? Or do we just kind of want to go through the motions and then we lived a little while and then we died? And I think at the end of the day, most of us, if we're honest with ourselves and we're not just grouchy or we didn't just totally bust our bracket last night, most of us would say that we actually do. We actually do want to have a life that matters. And I don't want to be in the routine and the rut of the same old stale thing day in and day out. And so that's why we said, you know what, we're going to do this series and we're going to do it together. We're going to strip everything back and we're going to spend 14 weeks together talking about what it means to build a life that matters. And last week I shared with you that in our small group we've seen so much life change throughout this series already. I know Sarah, my wife, asked earlier during the welcome of our service, did anyone experience any life change? And we had like three who's. And what that tells me is people are still processing it. You're still sitting here and you're like, these last 13, 14 weeks have been like a fire hose into my soul. And that's good. That's what we want. We want to challenge you every week to leave here changed and to think about how you are going to build a life that matters on the foundation of God's word. And we've been through a lot together in the last 13 weeks. We've walked through spiritual changes and what we need to do to make sure we maximize our spiritual life. And we've been through financial challenges and what we need to do to maximize our financial life and be financially stable. And then this past month, and all during the month of March and now leading into April, we've been talking about relationships. And last week I shared with you that we feel like we're always going to have a relationship in our life that we're not satisfied with. But it's our goal here at Friendship to get you to that point where you are relationally satisfied. And that if you're not in that place, that you're continually building to restore that relationship, because relationships matter. People matter. No matter how much you drive on Highway 31 and you think people are the scum of the earth, they actually do matter. They actually matter. People, other people besides you actually matter. And so before we move on out of this series today and into our Lost and Wandering series next week, I believe that we have some moving on to do ourselves. And so last week was kind of light and fun, and I kind of joked about Facebook a lot, and I'm not on Facebook, but I heard there was a lot of talk about me not liking Facebook on Facebook. That's fine. I don't like Facebook anyway, so I wasn't really on there to see all of it. I just, hey, they're talking about you on Facebook. Whatever. I'm just going to assume they're good things and move on with my life, because I don't want to be bitter about anything. But today we're going to get down to the heart of the matter. Before we can move on, we have some moving on to do ourselves. And today, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. And I know that each and every one of you in this room are in a situation right now where you have either just forgiven someone, you're in need of forgiving someone, or you're about to be in need of forgiving someone. That's life, right? Any of you who have lived longer than a week know that eventually someone is going to offend you. Someone is going to hurt you. Someone is going to make you upset, because we as people are not perfect. We read that in the Bible from the very beginning. We are not perfect people, and so we will make mistakes and we will hurt other people along the way, whether we realize it or not, whether it's intentional or not. We will hurt people. Well, what do we do with that hurt? Do we just let it fester up and build until it eats us away from the inside out? No, I don't believe that that's what God's called us to. I don't believe that that is building a life that matters. And I think if where the rubber meets the road, you say to yourself, yeah, I'd love to not live with this unforgiveness that I've got built up. I'd love to be able to get it off my chest. In fact, if you've got like a little room or confessional that we can go into after this and I can just unload it, that'd be great. We're going to do it right here in this room in front of everybody today. And we're going to get down to the heart of the matter, and we are going to get rid of the bitterness and the root of unforgiveness in our lives, because we can't move on. We've been through a lot of great things in the last 13 weeks, but we cannot move on this way. We will not move on this way, and God has called us to something greater and something better. Something better. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever forgives someone's sin, in which, because we're not all perfect people, when we do imperfect things, those imperfect things are sin. So whoever forgives someone's sin, they make a friend. They form a bond. They form a relationship. They've been through stuff together, okay? The cord is stronger. But gossiping about the sin breaks up friendships. Now, I want to talk to you about that word for a minute, gossiping. We believe at Friendship that gossiping is one of the most viral and deadly bad habits that you could ever form. And I know that many of us in this room, in fact, I'm going to venture to say all of us in this room, but I'm just going to ask you by a show of hands, how many of you have been affected by a gossiping, quote-unquote, friend before? A lot of people. And if you didn't raise your hand, it's probably because you were the one doing the gossiping. let's be honest. Some people being real honest already. I love it. We're going to get down to it, aren't we? So the people that raised their hand and the people that didn't raise their hand, you know that feeling. You've been betrayed. You can't trust them anymore. They're talking about you behind your back. You don't know what they're saying. You don't know if it's all good stuff or all bad stuff. And you get down to the point of, what do I do about it? Do I just ignore it and just let this feeling of betrayal build up? Or do I do something about it? And here's what I want to emphasize on today. Our big idea today is this. Every relationship you have is affected. Every relationship you have is affected by your choice to forgive. And that's the word we're going to emphasize on today. Yes, we're going to talk about being forgiving, but we're going to talk about today how that forgiveness is a choice. You have a choice to forgive. And we're gonna see in God's word that maybe it's an option for us, maybe it's not an option for us. But at the end of the day, it is a choice that we have to make. An active choice. Forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is the active choice, not passive, the active conscious choice to release the person who did you wrong and to not lord it over them. To not keep that card in your back pocket where every time they come up and they start to act a way that you might not like, that you just kind of reach in your back pocket and go, don't make me pull this out. I remember that one time you did me wrong. I haven't forgot about it. I'm lording it over you. We all do that. Whether we realize we do it or not, we are all guilty of that. We all hold on to those things and we lord it over the people who have done us wrong. And we go, oh yeah, I've forgiven them. But you haven't because you're continuing to lord it over them and you're holding it over their head and you're keeping that card in your back pocket. So I think there's three things we need to take care of when it comes to being forgiving. The first thing is this, before we can forgive other people, we have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. Has anyone in the room ever made any dumb decisions before? Yeah. And if you haven't raised your hand, you're in the middle of one. Whatever you're doing, just stop. Look at the person next to you who didn't raise their hand. Just tell them, whatever you're thinking about doing, just don't do it. It's a bad idea. If you've made a bad decision before in your life, you know the regret that comes along with it. Whether it was a simple, I shouldn't have bought that pair of shoes, or it's I shouldn't have slapped my dad in the face. That happens, right? At some point, you have to wake up and realize that until you can forgive yourself for the wrong that you have done, you cannot move on to forgive others. You cannot extend grace when you have not received grace fully. Yeah? We all agree with that? Okay, so Jesus feels this way too. And in Jeremiah, this is Old Testament passage here. In Jeremiah, there's some prophecy about Jesus. And prophecy means, hey, this hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen, and here's how it's all going to go down. And so in Jeremiah 31, this is a prophecy about Jesus. And so this is kind of him talking here, saying, for I will forgive their iniquity. I'll forgive their sin. I'll forgive their wrong. And I will remember their sin no more. Now, this is prophecy, of course, to the cross and to what he did and how he died for all of our sins that we ever committed or ever will commit. That's prophecy to that point in time. And what he's saying is when we get to that point later on in the New Testament, later on down the road in the timeline from when this was written and prophesied about, when we get to that point, I will forgive everything they've ever done wrong and everything they will ever do wrong. And so my question to you is this. If Christ, who has the ability, he's the only one who has the ability, has the power, has the authority to forgive your sins, then how come you can't let it go? If Christ has let it go on your behalf? How come you can't let it go? And he says this, not only am I letting it go and I'm forgiving those things, those sins, but I'm also not going to even remember them. I'm not going to bring it back up in conversation. And so if you've ever been at a crossroads in your life and you're standing there and you're trying to make two decisions and the decision to that you feel like you should go this way over here, but maybe there's a little bit of anxiety about that and you're not sure, and you start to hear the voice that says, remember last time you went down there, you screwed everything up. Let me tell you with certainty that that voice is not the voice of the Lord. That voice is the voice of a liar and a voice of someone who remembers sin and who remembers and constantly brings it back up at the worst possible time. So when you're thinking about those two things, if that comes up, you need to know immediately that that's not of the Lord and that's not of God. So you need to forgive yourself, step one. Step two, this is where the rubber meets the road. You need to forgive others. Talked about you can't give something that you haven't received. I can't hand something off. If I don't have a dollar, I can't give a dollar. So if I haven't received grace, if I haven't forgiven myself, then I can't give it. So once we've forgiven ourselves, our next step is to forgive others. And we walk around with this weight, and we're almost proud of it, which I don't understand. I'm right there with you. There's many times where I know that you feel like, yeah, I've been dealt wrong, and I've been hurt by this person, and I like carrying that around. Whether it's I want people to notice me, I want people to feel sorry for me, I just got to have the attention. I like it. It's become like a little pet. I've started to name it. We go out to dinner together. No one else can see it, but I can see it. That's weird. That's really weird. Like, you should really let those things go. Colossians says this. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance for each other's faults. I'm going to tell you straight up right here, I'm just only because I'm the one with the microphone, I'm not perfect. I have faults, many of them. And I can say with 100% confidence that everyone in this room is the same way. Everyone in this room has faults. They might not be the same faults, they might be different faults, but everyone in this room has their own faults. And so what we need to do is we need to make room for that. We need to put a little gap in between the reality of the situation and how we feel like the situation should actually go down. So many of us walk around and we feel like our friends have no room to make me upset. In fact, I've got a whole back pocket filled of cards with the times they've made me upset. And if I put one more card in this stack, I'm never talking to them again. And you're just waiting for it. That's not making allowances for other people's imperfection and other people's sin. That is lording it over them. It says, and forgive anyone who offends you. I'm not sure what the series was that we were going through, but I remember sometime in the last 12 months, I'll have Sarah tweet it out later today if we can find it, but sometime during the last 12 months, Pastor Dave gave a message about being too easily offended. And this is where the rubber meets the road. We're too easily offended. We're too easy to say, aha, that's one more card in my back pocket for me to be mad at you about. Too easy. We're too easy to do that because we don't make allowances. We don't make room. We don't give that buffer. We don't make that space for other people to mess up. Other people will mess up. You will mess up. Make space for it. Make allowances for it. Keep that gap clear and open because it's going to happen. Goes on to say this, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Remember earlier I said this is a choice. It's not an option, it's a choice. An option says we can do it or we can't do it, whatever we feel like. I might forgive them. I might not forgive them. Whatever. I don't really have to. No. This says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you what? You must forgive others. Not you should forgive others. Not maybe kind of sort of one day when you get around to it, forgive others. Maybe like, hey, make sure you allow yourself an extra 10 to 15 minutes when you're laying in the hospital on your deathbed to bring everybody in and be like, oh, by the way, I forgive you. I'm dying now. No. Like, you must forgive others. The Lord forgave you. And so because of that, you must forgive others. It is not an option. You must make the choice to forgive others. Third thing is this. Forgive and move on wisely. Forgive and move on wisely. And here's what I mean by that. I was talking to Pastor Dave about this message a few weeks ago, and I was laying out a couple of illustrations to him, thinking, I'm like, to me, when I think about forgiveness, it's this. And he's like, you're exactly right. So that's what I'm going to tell you right now. To me, forgiveness is like this. Everybody knows the illustration, whether you've seen it firsthand or you've heard it in another analogy before, of the little kid who reaches up and touches a hot stove and burns their hand on that hot stove. Okay? So do they go back and touch that hot stove again? Well, if they do, you might need to get them checked out. Something's not right. But what they should intake from that time of reaching up and touching that hot stove is, that's hot. That hurt. I don't want to do that again. So from now on, I'm not going to do that again. Now, do they say, Mom, you can no longer cook on that stove. That stove is dead to me. And just drop the mic and walk out. They can't do that. They need that stove. That stove cooks their food. It's a tool. It's a source for them. It's a source of life for them. They have to forgive it. I know, stove. I know you didn't mean. I know you're just doing your job, and I reached up and did something stupid. It's on me. Simple. They forgive, but they move on wisely. They go, okay, stove, I get it. You're hot. You know, when you're that way, I'm just going to stand over here. I get it. You're hot. I'll give you a minute to cool off before I reach back up and touch it again. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. And I want you to remember that when it comes time to forgiving someone. You see, forgiveness is granted. Okay? It's a choice. Right? But trust is earned. Now, if that same kid puts on this, like, hyper heat resistant glove and then reaches back up on it, they can just tap it all day and, like, ah, I got it, I can tap you now, and I'm not getting burned. Because they earned trust in a glove that'll keep them from getting hurt again. Okay? Forgiveness is granted, trust is earned. Now, I want to give you a big, giant anomaly here. An anomaly means this is the exception to the rule. Here's the exception to the rule where forgiveness is granted but trust is earned. If you are married, this rule does not apply to you. If you are married, you are held to a higher calling. This isn't your friend. This isn't your best bud. This isn't even your dad or your sister. This is your wife or your husband we're talking about, and it is a holy union that God has set up. And trust is not an option. It's not an option. It must be extended in order for it, that holy union, to work the way that God designed it. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 27 says, the wise see danger ahead and avoid it. Just like the kid with the stove. Hey, stove, I see you're hot right now. I'm not into touching you. I get it. I see that danger ahead. But fools keep going anyway. And they what? Get into trouble. Fools see the danger and go, oh, look, a big fire. And they just walk right towards it and jump right in. But the wise person sees that danger and goes, I don't really feel like getting burned today. I'm like, I'm going to go this way. You see it and you avoid it. You learn from past mistakes. You forgive and you move on wisely. Matthew 10 says this. This is Jesus talking. And he says, I am sending you. He's sending us out into the world. I am sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Have anyone ever watched like the Nature Channel or Nat Geo or anything like that? Anyone ever seen anything at all, like a picture in the dentist office where like the sheep is around the wolf and it's like, you can do it. No, you're going to die. You've seen the whole thing with like, there's a whole pack of sheep and there's like this wolf that's like prowling around and you got the guy that's like, watch this. Watch what happens. The wolf is going to get up in there. He's going to eat him. He says, look, you're sheep, and I'm sending you out to the wolves. And you're like, I don't want to do that. I've seen that show. I know how it ends. He says, but remember this. He goes, be as wise, your wisdom, your past experiences, your knowledge, your brain that God put in your skull, he gave you it to use. Be as wise as serpents. And if you think serpents aren't wise, serpents are what screwed it up for us all in the beginning anyway, right? So the serpent came along and told Adam and Eve, like, it's not what God said. He's sneaky and he's wise and he's got it all figured out. Be as wise as serpents, but don't walk around guarded all the time. That's no way to live. You don't want to walk around with your just in this shell of no emotion and no contact with other humans and no grace and no forgiveness and no true love and life. He says, no. You need to be wise, but when you walk around, you also need to be as innocent as doves, which just means pure, free of any cynicism, free of any negativity, free of any unforgiveness or bitterness, or any of these things that are like sludge to your soul that just slow you down and can take over that heart muscle and just completely annihilate it. No. Just be pure. Be as innocent as doves. Open yourselves up. And if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he was the same way. He's the same way. When these Pharisees, these people who were the religious law leaders of the day, and they knew every part of the religious law from cover to cover, and they thought to themselves, and they knew in their own mind that they were smarter than Jesus, and they knew that he was a crook, and they knew that he wasn't right, and they knew that he was full of falsehood. They would always constantly try to trip him up. They would always constantly give him little tests and little quizzes, and every time he was as wise as a serpent. He's like, I know what, he would flat out tell them, look, I know what you're doing. I know you're trying to trip me up, but my father's the one that wrote that, so here's how it really is. And it would silence them because he was as wise as a serpent. But he extended grace. He was innocent as a dove. He didn't see the Pharisees coming from afar and then just go, I don't want to talk to them. And just walk away, or like pull out a sphere and just launch it into him and hope it kills one of them and go, get it? I don't want to talk to you. No. He was pure and innocent as a dove, and he opened himself up to anyone that would listen. And that's what he's called us to. So what I want to do today is I want to have some action steps. I told you today is the day that we're going to get rid of unforgiveness in our hearts. And so I want to give us four action steps to get rid of that. And we're going to do it right here, right now. First step is this. Ask God to reveal to you where forgiveness is due. You know, sometimes you go along your everyday life And you don't realize even that you've done someone wrong. You're just oblivious to it. It happens. There's nothing wrong with it. It just happens. You got enough stuff to think about. You may not even realize that something that you did actually hurt someone else. And so God asks us to reveal those things to us. He says, hey, when you pray, ask me to reveal those things to you so that you can make it right. Don't go on just thinking everything's hunky-dory when everything's not hunky-dory. You need to know these things. You need wisdom from the true source of wisdom. And so what we're going to do right now is that. The Bible says in Psalms, David writes out and he says, search me and know me, O God. Renew a steadfast heart in me so that I can be clean before you. And so what he's saying is, I feel like I'm all good, but I know that you know me better than I know me, so just search me out. Search me out and find out if there's anything in me that I need to take care of. And so that's what we're going to do right now. I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes. I don't want anyone looking around. I'm not going to ask you to like get on your knees or come forward or anything like that. But this is just between you and God in this moment right now. Close your eyes. Look around. Don't look around. And I'm just going to give you just a second here to pray that simple prayer. And if you're not comfortable with it, just use this excuse as a 30-second power nap. Okay? But if you are comfortable with it and you know the Lord and you have a relationship with him, this is for you. I want you to spend the next few seconds and ask God, God, reveal to me where forgiveness is due. Do that now. I'm willing to bet that most of you knew where forgiveness was due before you even had to pray that. Most of you knew that I kind of haven't felt right about this ever since this happened. I feel like I owe that person forgiveness. But I also know that our God speaks and our God moves, and I know that he told you through your own mind, this is where forgiveness is due. That's step one. Step two is this. Tell God that you forgive them. Since God, through Jesus, is the ultimate forgiver, then what you need to do in the accountability of that, what he's held you to, that you must forgive others, then you probably, if someone says to you, you must do something, when you go and do it, what's the first thing you do? You come back to him and go, I did it. So what you need to do even before you tell that person that you forgive them is you need to tell God, God, I release them. I forgive them. And this might be super weird or super awkward for you, but I'm telling you, these are the biblical steps that you need to take in order to be forgiving and in order to experience true forgiveness in your life for yourself and for others. So do that right now. Doesn't take that long. Just in your mind, just tell God, say, God, I forgive that person. Could be yourself. God, I forgive myself. God, I forgive this person. I forgive that wrong that they did over me. I know you forgave me. I forgive them. Third step is this. Now, this is where our time of action here stops, and when you leave these doors, it starts. Okay? Third step is this. If possible, tell that person that you forgive them. And you'd be like, well, they don't even remember what it is, I'm sure. They don't even talk to me anymore. They want nothing to do with me. This is not about the other person. This is about you. Forgiving someone else is about you, not the person that you're forgiving. This is for your benefit, for you to obey what God has called you to do, and the freedom that he wants for you. And it is that. It is an active choice of freedom in your life. So if possible, and what I mean by if possible means is if they haven't died and gone on. If they're anywhere left on this earth that you can reach them by postcard or phone call, then it is your duty to tell them that you forgive them. And you have no idea what it's going to be. You'd be like, you have no idea. I've been waiting 20 years to hear that from you. Thank you. It's not about them. It's about you. And it's about the forgiveness that you need to go through and process in your heart in order to experience that freedom and build that life that matters. You may be really astonished. They may say, forgiveness, I don't need your forgiveness. Forget you and your forgiveness and move on. That's okay. It's not about them. It's about you. Remember that. Fourth thing is this. And this is where the rubber meets the road from day in and day out. Live in it. Don't dwell on it. Live in it. Don't dwell on it. Trust me when I tell you. I don't have time to tell you all the reasons why to trust me. Just trust me on this one thing, if you don't trust me on anything else. That unforgiveness will eat you up from the inside out. If you choose to live with it and carry it with you throughout every relationship, it will ruin everything. And that's not an overstatement. I'm not being dramatic. It will ruin everything. You must forgive. You must live in forgiveness of yourself and of others, and you must move on with wisdom from this day forward. So that's my prayer for everyone in this room today, me included. Last week, I had you write down five names of people that you needed to kind of reconnect with. And so today, I'm not going to ask you to write anything down because I believe God's already written it on your heart this morning as you're sitting in here listening to the truth of his word. You know the name of the person, whether it's yourself or someone else, that you need to forgive. If it's as small as they took my sucker or it's as big as they took my husband. You know. You know the name that is written on your heart. And so from here forward, you know what you need to do. Do not move on until you take care of it. Trust me. Let's pray. God, I just pray for boldness. Not an easy thing to come face to face with. Not an easy thing to admit. And I just pray for humility for all of us, myself included, that we would humble ourselves to your will. That we would humble ourselves to a higher calling. To know that in the forgiveness there is life. We've seen it. We've seen it, God. We've seen that when you forgave us, the life that it gave us. God, let us extend that life and that forgiveness to others, even if it's to ourselves. We cannot move on without your forgiveness, so we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that you have set the bar, that you set the standard. We are grateful. And as we move on into this Easter season with resurrection on our mind and a resurrected king who forgives and conquers every sin and conquered death itself, let us go in your power today. Let us go in your power and to know that you are God and that you have your hand on this and that you know us better than ourselves. We trust you, God. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.